There is a very advanced use of technology being made by the NHS, artificial intelligence, potentially going to be used to screen for and treat people with hepatitis C. Fevzi Turkalp, editor of the tech advice site The Gadget, detective.com, and host of The Gadget Detective podcast, joins me this morning. Fevzi, thank you for your time. Potentially, of course, of interest to many more people than just those with hepatitis C, as it brings forward this idea that artificial intelligence could be used more widely in the National Health Service. What do you make of that?
In principle, it's great. I mean, it's not a completely new use of artificial intelligence. Back in 2014, IBM started selling something called Watson for Oncology, Watson being their AI program, and they trained it to detect cancers based on scans, and they gave it thousands or millions of images of cancer patients and a similar number of patients that don't have cancer, and slowly Watson learned to detect what was cancer and what wasn't from scans. These softwares are in their infancy. They have a need for huge quantities of data, and I think it's interesting because the article that appeared in The Guardian yesterday about the NHS is going to use AI to detect hepatitis C, there was a great big gaping hole in that story, because it says, you know, it's done a deal with these three big pharma companies where we use NHS will use their AI software to detect people who are have key risk factors and then offer them tests. And on the face of it, of course, that's a great thing. Thousands of people die unnecessarily from hepatitis C, and there's a global target to get rid of hepatitis C, to eradicate it by 2030, and England and the UK is trying to meet that target. But what isn't mentioned in this article is what the nature of the deal is. And we know that the NHS is cash poor but data rich. It holds medical files on all of us. On the other hand, you have these big pharma companies and IT companies that have these AI algorithms, but they need to be trained on huge amounts of real data. And the worry is that what they're doing is that they're trading our data for access to these systems.
On the question of whether this actually is artificial intelligence, the scanning of health records for a number of key factors, such as an HIV diagnosis or historical blood transfusions, if those risk factors are known and looking for them helps to identify people who may have this particular virus, I mean, potentially a spreadsheet could do that, couldn't it? If you could just do a search and find for various markers. Why is this artificial intelligence rather than a computer simply sifting data in a way that a human has told it to?
So usually when people refer to AI in this sort of context, they're not just looking at two or three or five or 10 variables like, you know, historical blood transfusions, HIV diagnosis, IV drug use, having lived in particular countries. It can be hundreds or even thousands of parameters, some of which are very subtle, and human beings don't necessarily make those sort of subtle connections. The NHS is under such strain that humans haven't even got the time to properly review patient files before treating them. Certain information, you know, just isn't available or is lost or not connected in a particular way. And so, yeah, if it's smart, it is AI. If it's as basic as outlined in the newspaper article, then yes, it's a glorified spreadsheet. But you'd have to think that given that the companies want to absorb data from the NHS to train their systems, that it is some form of AI. But as I say, these algorithms are very much in their infancy. You know, they're going to come into their own in the next 10 and 20 years, and they will outperform human diagnosticians, both in terms of diagnosing it, but also putting together treatment plans that take account of everything from the individual's genome to all sorts of other factors that will help an AI program design the best treatment for the patients once they have been diagnosed.
Going back to where the data might come from, there have been concerns in the last couple of years about any patient data, even if it's anonymized and randomized, going to private companies, even if the intention is for those private companies on behalf of the NHS to create some kind of system which ultimately could save lives or improve patient care. Any system like this, it's going to require, as you've said, a lot of data. The more data it gets, the better it's going to be. But do you think that there are, and how do you think those fears and those concerns that patients will have about their data can be overcome?
Well, the government was trying to install an opt-out system, if you remember, a year or two ago, and it was publicized in such a way that it became a disgrace system, and it's being put on ice for now. But it's clear that the government is quite keen on trading data for things that it would otherwise have to pay money for. And this question of anonymizing data is easily de-anonymized. Data is only on anonymous when you consider that one bit of data in isolation. When you cross-reference it with other bits of data, it's very easy to de-anonymize the data and actually work out who the individuals are. And bearing in mind that this data is now in the hands of, or would be in the hands of, commercial pharmaceutical companies, anything could happen to that data. Your employer may pay for access to that data, or your insurance company may pay for access to that data and not insure you or increase your premiums or sack you before you have a heart attack.
So there must be legal processes that would prevent that from happening, that would make it illegal for an employer or an insurer paying money for data on their employees or their customers.
There was GDPR when we were in the European Union, not wishing to be party political, but it seems like that one of the, in quotes, benefits of Brexit is for the UK government to be able to deregulate. It seems that, where we are short of money and we want to treat people and we want to have good health outcomes, that instead of paying, what we should be doing, Darren, is we should be paying for those systems, just like company bought, Watson for oncology. They paid for it with money, and then they got a tool and they used it with some success, but not great success, I'd suggest. But we should be doing that. We should be buying products that are already developed and not be bartering our patients' data for them.
All right, Fevzi, thank you for that. Fevzi Turkalp, editor of the tech advice site, thegadgetdetective.com, host of the Gadget Detective podcast.